All right, good evening. How y'all doing?
Good.
If you didn't get to hear me preach on Sunday, last Sunday school I preached, I want to warn you, I'm like a camel. When I get up here, I like to walk around. I like to drink a lot of water. So you've been warned, amen? God's been good to me. If you got your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter number 20. 2 Chronicles 20. Hope everybody's got a King James Bible in here tonight. Amen? If you don't, that's all right. Just toss it on the ground and look on with your neighbor. Amen. 2 Chronicles chapter number 20. Pick it up in verse number 12. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. Father, bless your word now. Thank you for this opportunity, Lord. I know that I'm nothing. I'm a nobody, Lord. But I'm thankful for the calling that you've put on my life, Lord. And I pray now that you'd fill me with the power of the Holy Ghost, Lord, and you give me the unction and anoint me from on high, Lord. I pray now that you give me the wisdom and the discernment to say everything that you'd have me to say, and you'd give me the discernment to abstain from saying anything that may not be pleasing to you, Lord. I pray now that I might anoint and exalt the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we pray, amen. So here in this passage, we've got, it's King Jehoshaphat, he's speaking, and he's the king of Judah at the time, and he's got the Ammonites coming against him, and he's got the Moabites coming against him, and it's looking real bad, but Jehoshaphat humbles himself and realizes that in and of himself, he has no might, and friend, we are the same exact way. In and of ourselves, we have no might. The only might that we have comes from the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, friend. If we try to do things in the flesh, we will fall and we will fail, friend. But the only thing that we can rely on and the only strength and the only power that we've got in this life is the Holy Ghost of God, friend, and we've got to rely on that. If we try to live this Christian life in and of our flesh, we will fail time and time again. We've got to rely on the power of the Holy Ghost, friend. If we look here, Paul said in Romans 7, verse number 18, "In my flesh dwelleth no good thing." Isaiah the prophet said, "All flesh is grass. And the grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever," friend. And that's why Peter said over there in Acts 10:38, how God hath anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, friend. Our only power comes from the Holy Ghost. We need that anointing. We need to be filled with the power of the Holy Ghost, friend. And I'm not a Pentecostal. I'm not talking about speaking in tongues. I'm talking about dying to self, getting rid of our flesh, and being filled with the Holy Ghost. So that we can live this Christian life, amen? And so that we can live for the one who died for us, friend. And that way we can serve the one who died for us, amen? And how we look here, if you drop down to verse number 14, it should say at the end of that how the Spirit of the Lord came in the midst of the congregation. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's power. Things start to change when the Spirit of the Lord shows up, friend. We saw that earlier in this service. We've been having some good services, amen? And the Holy Spirit's coming in here and meeting with us. Zechariah said in Zechariah 4, "Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." Amen? And that's what we need, friend. We need to take hold of that. And you got to humble yourself and you got to realize that in yourself you have no might. You have no power. That's why we get caught in that cycle of sin over and over again, because we think that we've got power, but we don't, friend. We got to humble ourselves and we've got to get rid of the flesh and we've got to understand we need to be filled by the Holy Spirit of God. Amen? And Pastor was talking about it this morning, and he was talking about the sealing of the Holy Spirit. And that's a very important thing. That's where your eternal security lies. Bless God for eternal security, amen? If it was up to me, I'd have lost it the first day, amen? Praise God for eternal security. But there's a difference, friend, between the sealing of the Holy Spirit and the filling of the Holy Spirit. The sealing of the Holy Spirit, and what they call in Colossians 2, in verse number 11, is the circumcision made without hands. Amen? It's the operation of God. And that's what's going to take you up to heaven. You can't lose that thing, friend. But there is a difference in the sealing of the Holy Spirit and the filling of the Holy Spirit, friend. You can't be filled with the Holy Spirit if you've got a bunch of fleshly junk and a bunch of all these carnal things and worldly things weighing you down. There's nowhere for the Holy Spirit to fill you up. That's where the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:19, "Quench not the Spirit." Ephesians 4:30 says, "Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God." So there's a difference, friend. If we're full up with all these worldly things, there's nowhere for the Holy Spirit to fill us up. And we got to humble ourselves like Jehoshaphat did. And we have to realize that I have no might. I need you to help me, Lord. Amen? Brother Tony touched on it about 3 or 4 weeks ago when he got up here and preached. He said that if we've got a bunch of Christians coming in here and they're not right with God and they got unconfessed sin, they've been living like hell all throughout the week and they come in this church house and we expect the Holy Spirit to meet with us, if we're not right with friend God, that can affect our services. Amen? You got to get right with God when you come in the church house. You got to get right with God, period. But it's going to affect our services when he comes in here. Amen? David said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Friend, you got to take an account of yourself. You got to examine yourself, friend, and we got to be honest with ourselves. And if you're out there and you're fornicating, you're having sex with your boyfriend or your girlfriend, you're smoking weed, you're drinking alcohol, you're doing all these things, you're watching pornography, as Pastor said, if you're looking at things you shouldn't be looking at, friend, you ought to get right with God. Amen? Amen. It's time that we start to examine ourselves, friend. Amen. I pray for old-timey Holy Ghost conviction if I'm speaking to somebody today and you're doing those things and you're stuck in that cycle of sin, that you'd get right with God. If you come down here to an old-timey altar and you'd get right with God, friend. People all in this country are just playing church. You're a Christian on Sunday, but you live like hell throughout the week, friend. It ought not be that way, amen? So how do we get filled with the Holy Ghost? You got to be walking. It's a daily thing. You've got to be walking with the Lord. You have to be reading your Bible. You have to be in prayer. You have to be emptying yourself of the fleshly lust. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 10, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. O Lord, correct me, but with judgment, not in thine anger, lest thou bring me to nothing. You have to examine yourself on a daily basis, friend. And the reason why that some people cannot get victory over their sins is because they trust their own might. I used to be that way, friend. I spent so many years being Mr. Cool, caring about what everybody else thought and not what God thought, friend. Time and time again, oh, I'll do good for 1 week, but then I'm back in the pig pen. I'm falling flat on my face again because I'm trusting in my own might. Oh, I can dabble with it, but you know. And then time and time again, I stopped drinking for 1 week, but now I'm back to it. I have friends that are still doing that. And you can't get victory over that thing because you're trusting in your own might, friend. You got to come to an end of yourself, and you got to be filled with the Holy Ghost in order to make a change. Amen? It's like what Paul said in Romans 8:1. There is now therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Amen? When's the last time you judged yourself? And you could be thinking, oh, well, who does this guy think he is? He's up here judging me. I'm not judging you, friend. But the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 11:31, if we should judge ourselves, we should not be judged, friend. When's the last time you looked in the mirror and examined yourself? We all love 2 Timothy 2:15, right? I love that verse. We can spout that one off. We got that one memorized. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Amen? But what about 2 Timothy 2:19? Amen? Anybody? Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Amen? We name the name of Christ because we're Christians, but have you departed from iniquity, or are you living a double life? Amen. A lot of people live like Christians on Sunday, but they live like hell the other days. You post your Bible verse on Sunday, but on Taco Tuesday, you got a margarita in your hand. Amen? It ought not be that way, friend. The Bible says, abstain from all appearance of evil. Bless God. And I'm not better than anybody. If I'd have told you all the stuff I've done in my life, you'd run out those back doors. But I got right with God, friend, and I got honest. I got honest, friend. God's got big plans for Temple Baptist Church. Bless God for this church and my pastor. I've been coming here for about a year, and it's a tremendous blessing to me, friend. But God is not going to get us where we need to go if we don't have a sense of Christian accountability before we come in here to examine ourselves and say, am I right with God? It's high time to where we're not playing church anymore, friend. And here's another one, friend. We all like to say, even so, come, Lord Jesus, come, right? Yes. And bless God, I hope, what a way to be standing behind Charles Lawson's pulpit. I hope he'd take me out right like that, man. I'd have thought I'd died and gone to heaven like that, amen? But listen, friend, how many of us, if we're being honest with ourselves, oh, bless God, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Are you saying that because you're in fellowship with Christ? Or are you saying that because you want to be absent from the body, present with the Lord? Yeah. You want to be up there in those streets of glory, out of this old body of flesh? Sure, we all do, right? Amen? But are you in fellowship with Jesus Christ if he were to come right now? If you're being honest, are you truly in fellowship? Because the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse number 10, it talks about the judgment seat of Christ. We must all give an account for the things done in the body, whether they be good or bad. But then they stop at that verse. The next verse says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. When you come before an almighty God with those eyes of flaming fire, and he's trying your works up there to see what kind they are, friend, it ain't fun and games, friend. If you're not in fellowship with God, you shouldn't just selfishly be saying, even so, come, Lord Jesus. We ought to be right with God. What a thing would that be? Jesus Christ comes back and you're serving and living for him and you're doing what he's called you for you in your life. Amen. So we got to understand, like Jehoshaphat, that we've got no might on our own, friend, and we've got to rely on the Spirit of God. Amen. Secondly, the second thing that we can see in 2 Chronicles 20 and verse number 12, he says that, for we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Either know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. The second thing that Jehoshaphat realizes, besides the fact that he's got no might, is that there's a great company that's come against him. It's the same way in our life today, friends. It may not be the Moabites and the Ammonites, but there is a great company that's coming against us that wants to tear us down, and it's Satan and the forces of evil, friend. Once you get saved and you get born again, you become born of the Spirit of God, Satan cannot touch that, and you're on your way to glory whether you like it or not. Amen. But the thing of it is Satan wants to destroy your fellowship with Jesus Christ, friend. He wants to ruin your life. He wants to ruin your testimony, friend. And he'll do it if you let him. He'll do it if you're walking around in the flesh, friend. We have to be filled with the Spirit of God. Satan doesn't want you to know that there's a difference between that. Satan doesn't want you to be filled with the Spirit of God. He wants you walking around in your flesh because you're weak and you cannot serve Jesus Christ in the flesh. He cannot touch your soul if you're born again, friend. But the goal and the desire of Satan, according to Daniel 7:25, says that his plan is to wear out the saints of the Most High, friend. He wants to wear you out. It's a slow grind. And before you know it, you're not even a Christian anymore. You're tired and you're worn out and you're making no difference in this life. And all of a sudden you're living after the flesh and you're just like the world. That's what he wants you to do, friend. We have no might, but we have might and power in the Holy Ghost. Satan is the god of this world, but bless God, greater is he that is in you than he that is in this world. Amen? Amen. Amen. And, yeah, I mean, look at the world that we're in right now. We got the LGBTQ thing. I don't even know how many there are now. It's probably all the way up to Z. You know, you can be a zebra now if you want to, and I identify as a zebra. I don't know. It's ridiculous, Pastor. I can't keep track of it. You can't even turn the TV on without seeing two sodomites kissing. You find a good TV show and you think it's clean, right? And you went like one episode in and all of a sudden there's a woman married to a woman and you're like, well, why'd they have to put that in there? Right. Flip, and you got to put it back on the basketball game or the preaching or whatever. Amen? Another thing is there's pressures to conform to this world. There's this modern cultural Christianity that's wickedness, friend. It really is. I praise God every single day and pray to God. I'm thankful for this church and our pastor that we stick in the old paths. We stick to the King James Bible. We got the hymnals up here. And we're not doing the whole light show and the rock band. And we're going to turn the lights off during the... That's wickedness. And I'll say it. I don't care, man. They want you to compromise, friend. That's what they want you to do. Because you know why? They want to get you in the door. Friend, if you got to trick somebody to get them in the door, that's wickedness. If the Word of God isn't enough to get somebody in a church house, that ain't right. It's not right. And they want to get away from the King James Bible. They want to get a newer Bible, amen. And they want to say, well, let's get an easier one that everybody can understand. What about Proverbs 14:6? A scorner seeketh wisdom and findeth it not, but knowledge is easy to him that understandeth. Amen? The King James Bible, I can understand that, and I ain't the smartest person. And the thing of it is, friend, I went to one of those type of churches a couple years ago when I was out of fellowship with God, and I'll just be honest. I was searching. I needed a drink from that living water, and I went to church and said, maybe this will be good. Maybe this will be the day that I get back in fellowship. And it was nothing but a pat on the back, and we want to love on you, and we want to celebrate you. And I left the same way that I came in that place because the Word of God was not preached, friend. Everybody get your apps out. They've got apps now, man. You got 500 people following along to the sermon, and that preacher couldn't preach his way out of a wet paper sack, and they're following along, and everybody's got their cell phones out, and, I mean, are you on your cell phone texting, or what's going on, you know what I'm saying? So that's the world that we're living in today, friend. That's the world that we're living in. And let me tell you something, when the man of God gets up here and he opens up the Word of God, if you're not right with Jesus Christ and you're out of fellowship with God, you ought to be uncomfortable. There ought to be conviction. You ought not leave the same way you came in. Everybody is welcome in church, but if you're not right with God, when the man of God opens up this Bible, if you're not right, you better not be leaving the same way you came in. You ought to be squirming in your seat, friend. This ain't fun and games up here, man. This is the Word of God. This is... The Bible says in Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, friend. We cannot conform. We've got an enemy that is after us, friend. Jehoshaphat realized that, friend. And the third thing that you can see in the text here is he's talking about when you don't know what to do, keep your eyes on Jesus. Look at it in verse number 12. He's got no might. He's realized that he's got no might, friend. He realizes that there's a great company coming against him. And he says, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee, friend. He didn't know what to do. When you don't know what to do and the enemy's coming against you, keep your eyes upon Jesus, friend. Amen. Jehoshaphat knew that the odds were against him and he didn't know what to do, but he was trusting in the Lord, friend. David said, but mine eyes are unto thee, O God the Lord, and thee is my trust. Y'all remember that story of Peter, right? The disciples are all on the boat and there's a storm. Everybody's freaking out. And then all of a sudden they see our Lord Jesus out there on the water and they don't know if it's him or not. They think it's like a spirit. And all of a sudden, of course, Peter speaks up and says, Lord, if that's you, biddest me to come where thou art. And, you know, Jesus looks over and says, all right, Pete, come on out here, boy. Yeah. And he walks out there to him and he's looking directly at Jesus, friend. Amen. Like Jehoshaphat, he's got his eyes upon the Lord. And he's looking to Jesus, and he's locked in with Jesus, and he begins to walk on the water, and he's walking on the water perfectly, and he's in faith, and he's looking to Jesus. But all of a sudden, something changed, friend. He took his eyes off of Jesus. He started looking to the left and the right, and it says the wind was boisterous. And he started looking at the storms. He took his eyes up off of Jesus, and he began to sink. It's the same way, friend. We're doing good. We're in fellowship. We have our eyes upon Jesus, and then all of a sudden something happens. The storms of life come against us, friend. And then all of a sudden we take our eyes off of Jesus and we begin to sink. That's right. Our fellowship begins to slide. We begin to sink, friend, and that's just how it goes, friend. Are you sinking today? Have you taken your eyes off of Jesus, friend? Are you looking at the storms of life? Is there a great company that's coming against you and you don't know what to do, friend? Turn your eyes to Jesus, friend. Turn your eyes to Jesus. He's the one that can handle it, friend. Amen. Amen. Even though you may have no might and there may be a great company that comes against you, friend, set your eyes upon Jesus and say, Lord, help me. I know that I've got no might. Fill me with the power of the Holy Ghost. Get this junk out of my life, Lord. Help me. I need your help. I can't do it by myself. The Bible says over there in Proverbs 4, let thine eyes look right on. Let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Look right on to Jesus, friend. Just focus on Jesus, friend. He's there for you. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, friend. And we can see here, if you look down in verse number 15, 2 Chronicles 20, look at 15. Friend, there's always going to be another battle in your life. I hate to tell you. But we can see at the end of verse number 15, if you look at the very end, it says, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Jehoshaphat has been told by God that, hey, there's a battle coming, but it's not yours, it's God's, friend. There's always going to be another battle, friend. That's just how life is. There's always going to be another battle, but you got to know that the battles in this life are unavoidable, but God is with you, friend. Jesus said, in the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcame the world, friend. Jesus came and dwelt among us and was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin, so that he could relate to us, friend. We have a high priest that is touched with the feeling of our infirmities, friend. He is there for us. He's been in your shoes. He's been through any battle way worse, and he is there for you. He can sympathize and he can reason with you. You just got to turn to Jesus and turn your eyes upon Jesus. And I feel that oftentimes we tend to think that the God that we read in the Bible is a different God today, or he's so far off that it's not still the same. Friend, it is the same God, even though things have changed. It is the same God, friend. And the Bible says in Exodus 14:14, the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Amen. And the thing of it is, friend, is that the same God of the Old Testament is the same God that's with you today in any battle that you face. Amen. And another thing that can creep into churches is what's called a critical spirit, and it can start to ruin the fellowship, friend. Yeah. You can get a critical spirit, right? You can get up here and you can say, well, I wish they'd have preached a little bit more out of the New Testament, not the Old Testament, or didn't we sing that song last week, or what are all these crazy Baptists doing in here shouting so much? And why is that preacher yelling, friend? I mean, you know, I think that Jesus Christ is worth shouting for, Pastor. If there's anything worth shouting for, it's the one who was on a tree and bled and died for you and saved your soul from hell, friend. That's something that's worth shouting for, amen? That's worth shouting for to me, friend. The Bible says in Isaiah 58, verse 1, cry aloud and spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, amen? But the thing of it is we shout, right? Just maybe not in church. We shout when the Vols are on, amen? Yeah, I know you did last night. You shout at your kids. You shout out your wife. Oops. You shout at your husband, right? You shout at the dog. I know you shout at the dog, man. You can't shout for Jesus Christ. Come on now. But that's how it goes, man. You get that critical spirit, and you're sitting there with your arms folded, and you got that spirit about you, and you're thinking, well, I mean, bless God, this and that. And before you know it, that thing creeps in, and it can start to defile your fellowship with Jesus Christ, friend. Amen. But there's always going to be another battle, friend. Everyone's battles look different in this life. Amen. But I just want to tell you that even though sometimes things get rough, and you tend to think that the God of the Bible is not the same God today, and these things you read about the Old Testament seem so far off, friend, He is the same God. I just want to tell you that. The God who parted the Red Sea is the God who healed the blind and walked on water. Amen. The God that rained fire and brimstone down on Sodom and Gomorrah is the same God that went to the cross of Calvary, bled and died, and saved your soul from hell, friend. That's the same God. Amen. He's with you today. He's the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Amen. He will never leave you nor forsake you, friend. Amen. I'm here to tell you today that is the Rose of Sharon, the Lily of the Valley, the fairest of 10,000, the Balm of Gilead, all that. He's still with you today, and He's still the same God. He is able to save them to the uttermost, and He ever liveth to make intercession for them. Amen. He's with you today, friend. He is with you no matter what you face. Turn your eyes to Jesus. We need the power of the Holy Ghost in order to live this Christian life. Amen. Friend, the Bible says in Hebrews 13 and verse number 8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. He doesn't change, friend. He changes not. But let's look at something. Let's look at something here in our text here. Let's look at verse number 16. 2 Chronicles 20:16. Amen. There's a good spirit in here. And I played in a lot of ball games, man, but you get behind Charles Lawson's pulpit, shoo-wee. It's different, amen. But see, we can see here that Jehoshaphat has been told by God that the battle's not yours, but God's. But see, the thing about that, friend, is that in verse number 16, his faith is required, amen. Yes. It's more than just, hey, I hear you, Lord, I know the battle's not mine, and you know, we know that, and we're Bible believers, but your faith is required in this Christian life, friend. Tomorrow, there is going to be a battle. And if it's not Monday, then it's going to be Tuesday. If it's not Tuesday, bless God, it's going to be Wednesday, and you know that, friend. But we can see in 16 that the faith was required from the people of Judah. It says at the start of verse 16, tomorrow go ye down against them. So they had to believe in the Word of God. They had to believe that God was going to be with them, and God has told them that the battle is not yours, but they had to still go down against their enemies. And I can imagine that would be pretty scary, right? I mean, you got the Ammonites and you got the Moabites, and yeah, Lord, I hear you. I know that you're with me, and the battle's not mine, it's yours. I can't really physically see you, but I'm going to go down against my enemies. I can imagine that that's pretty scary. But the thing of it is, friend, it's the same exact way in our Christian life. There's always another battle, and it requires faith that God is going to be with us. We have to know that, friend. The very next day, they had to have faith and trust God's word and go down against their enemies. Think about it in this way. I think Sunday, right? Like, we get on this spiritual high. We're in here worshiping with the saints of God. We're in fellowship with the Lord. We're reading our Bible. We're all pumped up. We're hearing the good singing. And then, boom, Monday's coming. I swear Monday's got to be Satan's favorite day, Brother Barry. I swear, man. You know, you're on a spiritual high. You're feeling good. You know, you know Monday morning, you got to get back to work and you can't find your keys, right? You find your keys and the car won't start. You know, you leave the house extra early to beat traffic. You know, I'm gonna be off to a great start on Monday, and boom, there's traffic out of nowhere, and you're 30 minutes later than you would have been. You spill your coffee, you drop your phone in that crack where you can't get your phone. Somebody steals your parking spot, bless God. It's a million different things. You finally make it into the office, and then you got people on there telling dirty jokes in the elevator, and you're thinking, my. You know, and then you get to your office, and, you know, there's people talking about Taylor Swift this and that, and, you know, they're talking about, you know, people are profaning the name of Jesus Christ and all these different things, and you're thinking, my, Lord, I'm back out here in a battlefield, amen? It may look a little bit different, friend, but we've all got battles, but we've got to understand that the battle is not ours, but God's, friend. He is with you in any battle that you go through, friend, and next day, faith is going to be required. Faith is going to be required the very next day. But I heard that old song that says, because he lives, amen, I can face tomorrow. Amen. All fear is gone because he lives, and I know who holds the future. Amen. The next day, faith is going to be required, friend. Everyone's going to have a battle. It's going to look different for different people, but you just got to trust in Jesus Christ, and you've got to rely on the Holy Spirit of God to get you through that thing. The Bible says over there in Job, man is born under trouble as the sparks fly upward, friend. Trouble is unavoidable in this life. It's just a part of life, man. But we've got to understand that, you know, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And we've got to rely on that. Let's look here real quick. Let's pick it up in 17. Look at 17 in our text. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still. That's easier said than done, isn't it? We want to control everything, friend. We want to control everything in this life. And if it's not done the way we want it, when we want it done, we're thinking, well, God, can you hear me? What's going on, Lord? I thought the battle was yours, God. Where you at? That's how I talk to the Lord. I get real with him, man. But the thing of it is, it says, set yourselves, stand ye still. And see the salvation of the Lord with you. Amen. Amen. Set yourself and stand ye still, friend. We want to control when we get in a battle, but sometimes you just need to set yourself still. And sometimes you're in that battle so that God can get the glory and you can see the power of God, friend. Amen. Set yourself, stand ye still. When you find yourself in a battle, just be still. Y'all remember over there in 2 Samuel when David finally recovered the Ark of God, right? And he's transporting that thing and they're moving it and they've got it on the oxen. And then all of a sudden, he's got Uzzah with him, and the oxen hits the bump, and it shakes it, and all of a sudden, Uzzah steps out and says, I'm going to stabilize it. Friend, I'm here to tell you today, God don't need your help, amen? Amen. He just needs you to be still and know that he is God. That's what the Bible says. Amen. Uzzah stuck his hands out because he lost faith in God, and he didn't trust God, and he said, God needs my help. He doesn't need your help, friend. Amen. And the Bible says that God smote him there for his error. Because he was not still. Amen. He was not still, friend. God doesn't need your help, friend. You just need to be still and trust in the Lord. I'll tell you a story. This is about 10 years ago. I was driving. I had a Ford Explorer at this time. I was like 18 or 19 years old. And I was driving on Kingston Pike in a really, really bad snowstorm over there by Bearden High School. There's a car dealership, Rice Buick car dealership over there. I don't know if anybody knows where I'm talking about. And I was doing like 40 miles an hour. It's real smart. It's like midnight. Yeah, praise God. I came a long way, amen. And all of a sudden, the car starts to lose control, friend. And I'm swerving into oncoming traffic, and I don't know what to do. And all of a sudden, I'm jerking that steering wheel back, and I'm starting to press the brake. Everything you're not supposed to do, right? I'm doing that. And all of a sudden, it's getting worse and worse and worse. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, I'm about to die. This is about to be it. And all of a sudden, I hear a voice that just says, be still. Be still. And I took my hands off the wheel, took my foot off the brake, and all of a sudden the car corrected itself, amen? And it started swerving all the way back, and I started flying like 40 miles an hour through an AutoZone parking lot right there on Kingston Pike. And all of a sudden my car corrects itself. There's two big cement light poles on either side. I go flying through those light poles about 6 inches on either side, and I'm headed right into that 76 gas station that's right there, and I'm thinking, here it goes. I'm about to die. And I was headed right towards the gas pumps, friend, and I didn't know what was going on. And about 6 inches in front of the gas pumps, my car just stopped. But I was in the middle of the battle, and I said, "Help me, Jesus." And all of a sudden, I just chose to be still, and I didn't die. Amen. But I'm just saying, that's a tight picture of when we get in these battles just to be still. That's a true story, by the way. I got out and I hit my knees and I said, "Oh God, I need to get back right with you. Thank you, Lord, for saving me." He literally saved me. I could have hit those pumps, man. Can you imagine what my mom would have thought? She said, "What in the cat hair happened to Sam? What did he blew him? He blew himself up." She's listening on Ron right now. She never heard that story before either. That's a true story. But the point of the matter is sometimes when we find ourselves in these battles, we've just got to be still and know that He is God, friend. Don't try to put God in a box, friend. He is able to do more and exceedingly above anything that we can ever imagine, friend. So the thing of it is, friend, is we've got to understand that we've got no might, friend. You cannot live this Christian life in your own power in the flesh, friend. You have to rely on the filling of the Holy Ghost of God, friend. You've got to require that daily. We've got to seek after the Lord so that He can fill us up, so that we can live for Him, friend. And secondly, like I said, we have to understand that there's a great company that comes against us, and it's Satan and the devil and the modern world and all these things that say conform and you need to change this or do it this way or that way. We just need to stick with the old path, friend, and keep on keeping on, keep on fighting the good fight. The Bible says that we are soldiers of Jesus Christ, friend. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Amen. And that's what we need to do. We need to just keep on fighting the good fight, friend. I understand that there's a lot of things that come against us, friend, but we just need to rely on the Holy Spirit of God and the filling of God, friend. And when you don't know what to do, like Jehoshaphat, keep your eyes on the Lord and trust in Him, friend. God will see you through it. The battle is not yours, but God's, friend. Father, bless your word now and the time that we've had together, Lord. I thank you for this opportunity now. Father God, I pray that if there be one lost here, that they would not go to bed tonight not knowing whether they're going to heaven or hell. Father God, I pray that they would get saved tonight if there be one that I'm talking to. Lord, if there's one that's backslidden on you, Lord, if there's one that's out of fellowship, Lord, I pray now that they'd get right with God. And I pray that we'd stop playing, Lord, and that we'd realize the severity of this battle that we're in. And we know that you're coming quickly, Lord, and we hope that we can be in fellowship when you do, Lord. Thank you for this word. Thank you for the calling that you've put on my life. Thank you for my pastor. Thank you for my church. Thank you for all my brothers and sisters in Christ that are listening out here, Lord. Thank you, and I love you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Thank you, brother.
You did well.
Thank you, brother.
You did well. God bless you. Amen. Amen.